And I'm glad you're out there. Are you keeping cool? Well, the weather report says it's going to be in the 90s. Ouch. Thank the Lord for air conditioning, right? Well, Psalm 103 reminds us, praise the Lord for all of his benefits. And that truly is a benefit. Well, my verses for the day, and you notice I've got a plural there, is Isaiah 55, 10, and 11. Don't you love the Word of God? So beautiful and so down to earth so that we can understand it. Well, here's verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, and that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And I love this last one, and oh, how I claim it before I go on the broadcast. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I have sent it. So, when I give out a verse of scripture like I just finished, the Lord's in charge of it, and he's going to use it in your heart, in many hearts, because it's the Word of God. Now, what Mabel Louise says, it's what God's Word says. What the Lord gives us. Aren't you glad to have the Bible? Well, I am absolutely amazed at how many verses are in the Bible that relate to farming and gardening. So today I want to continue on talking to you about how they lived in Jesus' day. And you know, I mentioned hug your wash machine and dryer. They didn't have them. Well, let me just say, hug your John Deere or whatever brand of implements you have, because they didn't have them in Jesus' day. I remember telling you on my last broadcast that their plow, that was, of course, homemade out of wood with one metal sharp entrance into the soil, and it only turned the soil over for 2 or 3 inches. I remember sitting on my dad's lap while he was plowing. And my goodness, it turned, I think it went down at least 12 inches. And think about 1 or 2 or 3 inches. Not very deep, of course. So we can be so thankful, and as I said, thankful for all of the Lord's benefits. So on my last broadcast, I started telling you some interesting facts of village life when Jesus walked this earth. Yes, you remember the Christmas story. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He lived a short time in Egypt, but the bulk of his younger days was spent in that small village of Nazareth. And Nazareth was about 15 miles from the Sea of Galilee. And if you listen to my last broadcast, I told you what the approximate population was of Jerusalem when Jesus was there. And it was 25,000. Not very big, but it was the city, and it still is the city. So I just thought it would be interesting to tell you about the way of life during Jesus' time on earth. You know, there were so many parables and Bible truths that used agricultural terms to teach the Bible lessons. And of course, Jesus used this method for the people were able to listen and understand what he was talking about. Perhaps some of the things that I'll be sharing with you might shed some light on your Bible reading that you have in the future. Yes, Jesus was a country boy. He observed country ways from which he drew many, many images of his teachings. And of course, the vast majority of the people lived in rural areas. Farming was their occupation. Jeremiah 29, verse 28 says, "The Lord instructed the people to build houses and to plant gardens and to eat the fruit of them." That's a sweet verse, isn't it? Build houses, plant gardens, and eat what you've planted, the fruit of the garden. Well, in Jesus' day, the children were trained in the same occupation of the parents. Jesus learned carpentry trade from Joseph. The book entitled Jesus and His Time says that every farmer taught his sons his trade according to tradition. A young boy would learn from watching his father or even his grandfather. Formal apprenticeship in a trade began when a boy was 15 years of age. Both Matthew and Mark give us information on this particular truth. Jesus had returned to Nazareth to preach to the people, and as Matthew states in chapter 13, verse 55, here it says, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" Speaking of Jesus. And it goes on to say, "Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judas?" You see, carpenters and blacksmiths usually located their businesses in the marketplace, and they were side by side so that they could work together, for they not only made household goods, but farm implements. The carpentry trade would include making plows, yokes for the oxen and donkeys, and carts and wooden wheels for the farmers. It was a village custom for every family to have a garden to raise the family food. They would also have a goat or two for milk and for the cheese that they all loved. And I recall, and I'm sure you do too if you've read the scriptures, that David, as a shepherd boy, was called by his father to come home and deliver food to his brothers who were fighting in battle against the Philistines. You remember that story? Well, David was given by his father some agricultural food to take to his brothers for a treat. And this, of course, remember, was just before David slew the giant. The Bible says that David took parched or dried corn, 10 loaves of bread, and 10 cheeses for his brothers to enjoy. So from his childhood, Jesus would have had first-hand experience with farming. No wonder so many of his teachings in the Bible are filled with agricultural references. You know, we have quite a number of farm families that listen to us on the radio, and they've identified the fact that they live on farms. So I hope that particularly you, dear ones, will enjoy what I'm talking about and praise God for what you have right now. The rich landowners would have a lot of land, and they would hire day workers. And guess what? They got 15 cents a day. They call that, instead of our term cents, it would be a denaro. But most families would own just a small amount of land. And I even read in the report, the historical report, that they would have about 4 to 6 acres each. And they would usually have a donkey or oxen. If they farmed any sizable land, they would have to have the oxen. They would have chickens or other fowl, 1 or 2 goats to milk, so they could have cheese and milk to drink, and a few sheep for wool so they could make their own clothes. Well, Jesus referred to chickens when he said, "As a hen gathers her brood under her wings," Matthew 23 and Luke 13. And by the way, they had to pay taxes just like we do today. There was heavy taxes by the government on the land as well as taxes on their produce. The tax was levied by the tax collectors, and it equal to 1/4 or 1/5 of the produce from the land. And they also had church or temple tax of 10% or a tithe. It was interesting that their usual garden produce was cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, garlic, peas, and different kinds of beans. And during harvest time for gathering the grapes, the entire family would move to the grape field. Isn't that interesting? And when they planted the field, they would also, at the same time, build a shelter for the family to live in. And sometimes the shelter was even called a tower, like in the story found in Matthew 21:33. So what they would do in time of harvest for the grapes, they would move into that tower or the shelter or be there to guard the field from the robbers who would come and gather up the grapes before they could harvest them. You remember the story from Matthew that talked about the householder who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower? And then he let it out to tenants and went into another country. Yes, in this parable, the tenants killed the owner's servants and even the owner's son. So here's a perfect example of how the scripture uses illustrations from the farming, agricultural work. And I promised on my last broadcast to describe what a plow looked like in Jesus' day. It's kind of complicated to me, but it would be easy for a carpenter. It was made up of 2 wooden beams that were joined together, and in the front end it is hooked to a yoke, and at the rear end it is fastened to a cross piece, the upper part of which serves as the handle, and the lower part holds the iron plowshare, or they called it, it's actually the blade, but Bible times they called it the coulter. Even today, man of these simple plows could be seen in Bible lands. The plows could, without a lot of work, be changed into swords for warfare. They could use that metal blade. Joel talked about it. Beat your plowshares into swords. Well, I'm out of time. I hope you've enjoyed hearing how they lived in Jesus' day. And I hope that it bears fruit as you read the scriptures and you can say, yeah, that's what they did in Jesus' day. So let me leave you by just saying, God bless you. Don't forget to read God's word. It's there you can fall in love with him for all the blessings that you enjoy. God bless you and have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.